San Francisco-based Steve Silverman is not on the autism spectrum, but he's an authority on the subject. His book, Neurotribes, is a bestseller. He gave a keynote speech at the UN. His TED Talk has a million views. Steve also won a gold record for co-producing the Grateful Dead's box set, So Many Roads, and he was one of the late David Crosby's best friends.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn.
David Crosby singing the high notes for the birds, and here for Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are. You make it hard, and you make it hard.
Steve Silverman's Twitter feed has beautiful pictures of him and David Crosby, including one where they give each other a big kiss. Well, Steve Silverman is here to remember his friend, and I am so sorry because I'm sure when you hear the late David Crosby, it's still a shock.
It is a shock. And in fact, I expect at any moment to get a text from him saying, like, death is really weird, you know, because we were in more or less constant touch with each other for about the past 30 years.
Yeah. When did this start? You were a teen, right?
Well, yeah, it started long before he knew about me. I heard his song Guinevere when I was about 15, playing in a sandal shop in Provincetown.
Well, in fact, we have Guinevere. Let's just listen to a little of that and its beautiful, soaring, haunting melody.
Guinevere had green eyes like yours, milady, like yours.
I thought it was the most beautiful melody I'd ever heard. The open tuning, although I did not know what that was.
On the guitar, yeah.
It had a sort of cyclical, almost a quality like a mantra, in a sense. It was a very meditative, very serene, but also mysterious tune. And in fact, among the people who realized there was no other tune quite like it was no less than Miles Davis, who recorded a half an hour version of Guinevere on one of his own albums. But I didn't get to know David until the early 90s. Crosby, Stills, and Nash were producing a box set and they wanted some bonus tracks. And a friend of mine was with them and kept saying, well, Steve Silverman says this is the best version of that song. And so finally, they eventually said, well, get this guy down here. So I went down to the hotel where they were staying, hung out with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, which was, of course, an unbelievable experience for a young Crosby, Stills, and Nash fan. Didn't connect so much with David. The way that we really became friends was that I heard that he was a so-called fax addict, was the phrase I heard. And I thought, well, if he's a fax addict, the man should have email. So I set him up with his first email account, and he loved it. He said, what username should I use? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it should probably be something so people can't figure out who you are. And he said, I want people to figure out who I am. How about Cross? You know, yeah. So I thought, oh, okay, that's how this is going to go. He's just going to throw himself into it.
You started a podcast together. You talked to him about everything, and you sent us this clip, you asking him how a visit to an orchestra when he was six launched him into a lifetime of music.
It was that they were doing it together.
Yeah.
They made a thing by moving together, by cooperative effort. They made a sound that was so big and so beautiful. It was like life-changing.
That's so fascinating, Steve Silverman, because I'm thinking that's what David Crosby brought to the Byrds and to other groups, this sense of moving together, that harmony.
Absolutely. Some people say, like, you can't really hear David singing lead in Crosby, Stills, and Nash or even the Byrds. David made other people's harmonies even better. He was the ultimate communal music maker who could make everybody play over their own heads and create kinds of beauty that they would have thought they weren't capable of.
Yeah. It reminds me of one of my favorites, Helplessly Hoping.
Helplessly hoping her heart licking others nearby and waiting a word.
You talked about troubled times that David Crosby had, no secret. He burned a lot of bridges. He once said that his former bandmates didn't want to have much to do with him.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something that no one knows, but there were efforts to reconcile with his former bandmate, Graham Nash, and Neil Young at the very end of his life. But David did not want things to go down that way at the end. I think if he could have lived even just a few days longer, there would have been a reconciliation.
Oh, one would hope. Well, there were the protest songs. Neil Young wrote Ohio in response to the shooting deaths of four student Vietnam War protesters at Kent State. Steve Stills wrote Find the Cost of Freedom. You can hear David Crosby's soaring high notes.
Find the cost of freedom buried in the ground.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Find the Cost of Freedom. We're talking to David Crosby's longtime friend, Steve Silberman, about Crosby. Well, here he is, again, on your podcast together. You asked him what advice he had for today's young people.
Don't lose hope. It can seem very grim.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed very grim to us when we were being ignored mm-hmm. and the country was roaring to war mm-hmm. in Vietnam where we should not have been. We didn't give up. You're facing a situation, you young people. You're looking at a broken democracy, and we're asking you to believe in democracy. It's very tough. Very tough for me to tell you democracy works. Only it does. I beg you to give it another shot. I beg you to vote.
Steve Silberman, I want to be careful here. Tender topic. Do you think in the end, did he still have hope?
Yes, although things like Elon Musk buying Twitter and turning it into a cesspool of right-wing disinformation really depressed him. You know, his hope was shaky, but he still had it. And it was a hope for the transformation of the world in a more humane direction. He kept that flame burning till the very end of his life. He would occasionally, and more so as he got older, write songs that were teaching songs. His partner, Graham Nash, had written Teach Your Children Well. He wrote songs to teach all of us well. He was one of the most thoughtful and philosophically minded people I've ever known. It was basically Buddhism without Buddha.
That is music producer, writer, Steve Silberman, talking about his decades-long, somewhat improbable at the beginning, friendship with the late legendary Dave Crosby. Steve, I would love to leave our listeners with another part of your podcast and about how much David Crosby valued life. And it's when you asked him about death. So we'll leave listeners with that. And in the meantime, I thank you so much, and I wish you well.
Thank you.
I'm not obsessed with it. I don't spend my time thinking about death.
Yes, you do.
No, I do not.
Okay.
I brought it up with you because you're one of the only people that I know who's not afraid to talk about anything.
True.
And that's a gift, and I'm grateful for it.
Thank you so much. So am I.
That's a bitch, man. Because, okay, the real bitch is that we don't have enough time.
Yeah.
We don't have anywhere near enough time.
Yeah.
I didn't start figuring out who I was until I was in my 50s, for God's sakes. Here I am just now finally having adjusted my life to where I'm happy most of the time, and I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Where the f*** is that at? That sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's very tough. I got a dozen things that I still want to learn. There's like three languages, two sections of history, at least five sciences, and I've got a wish list of places I want to see, experiences I want to have, that's as long as your arm, and I, no time.
Yeah.
And it's worse than that. I wasted years of time that I could have now to use if I hadn't wasted them.
Time is the final current. Not money, not power.
The late David Crosby's Time is the Final Currency from his solo album CPR. We'll have much more at hereandnow.org.